Before I share with you final scripture
reading from Titus, I'll just share that kind of as part of the message tonight. But before I do, I'll share with you a moment earlier in the day today. We were out back working on getting together some bulletins and getting some other details put together, and came out here to drop a key off for somebody to pick up later in the afternoon. I realized it was kind of chilly in here. And so I walked out, but then suddenly realized, no, it seemed really, really too chilly in here. Because I knew we left the heat on about 58 on Monday night, and it was way below 58. And I looked, and sure enough, it was. It was 45 degrees. And we'd run out of oil. And as again, a new contractor and trying to get the whole thing together. But I got thinking about that while we were trying to get things up and running. You know, there was a moment in there I said, boy, how can we have worship here tonight when it's so cold? How can we gather in this space and spend time together with one another when it's 45 degrees? Granted, we probably would have raised the temperature pretty quickly as we gathered in here together, but it still wouldn't have been what we normally call comfortable. And isn't that the story of Christmas? Not exactly a birth that you would call comfortable. You know, we heard at the end of the last part of Luke chapter 2 that Robin just read to us that Mary pondered all of treasured all of these things in her heart. She pondered them in her heart. But I wonder if she was really treasuring them while they were happening. I wonder if there was a moment where she said, how in the world can I give birth to this child here tonight? I mean, she couldn't even find a room. She couldn't find a roof to go over her head. So they made do and ended up in what was probably a cave out in back of the inn. This little cavern. In fact, that's what's in Israel now where they believe was that site. You go down inside of the cathedral that sits over it, and then you walk downstairs and there's this little cave that you have to bend over and stoop down in order to even look inside of there. This is where they think Christ might have been born. How in the world can God be born out into a situation like this? Maybe you come here tonight thinking about Christmas Eve, thinking about Christmas tomorrow, things going on in your life, and maybe you're saying, how in the world can I even celebrate? But you know, just like oil in the oil tank changed the atmosphere in this room, Christ's presence in that manger changed that night. And changes all of history and changes lives still today. I want to share with you a story I came across on the internet. It's supposedly a true story written by a pastor and shared by a pastor named Rob Reed. The brand new pastor and his wife were newly assigned to a ministry in Brooklyn. They came to reopen a church in the middle of the city. They arrived in early October. They were excited about the many opportunities that they would have. And then they saw the church. It was run down. There was a lot of work that was going to need to be done. But they set a goal for themselves. They'd gather any help that they could, and they'd work whatever it took for themselves to have that sanctuary ready to go for Christmas Eve service. Things were going along fine. They worked hard. They repaired pews. They plastered walls. They painted the rooms. And on December 18th, they were ahead of schedule and almost finished. But on December 19th, it began to rain. And it began to rain really, really hard for 2 days. And the water leaked through the roof and down the sanctuary wall. And a great big chunk of plaster, about 8 foot by 20 foot, fell off of that wall and landed on the sanctuary floor. It was right behind the pulpit. It was just about the pastor's height. There was no way people were going to miss it. And it was a terrible sight. Like I just pointed out, that pastor was at one of those moments where he was saying, how in the world can we celebrate Christmas here? So he went home to tell his wife about what had happened after he'd cleaned up the mess. He wasn't sure whether to postpone it or what would happen. But along the way, something happened. He came across this business that was open. They were having a flea market type sale, and all the proceeds were going to go to charity. And he decided to walk in there for some strange reason. And there on the table, he found this incredible tablecloth. It was embroidered with all these wonderful colors. There was a cross that was right in the middle of it. And it seemed to be just the right size to cover that hole in the front of the sanctuary. And so he picked it up. He headed back to the church, and by this time, it had cooled off and it had started to snow. An older woman came running from the opposite direction. She was trying to catch the bus, and she was close, but she didn't make it. He invited her to come in out of the weather, to sit in the sanctuary, because it was going to be another 45 minutes before a bus would be coming by. She sat in the pew. She paid no attention to the pastor or what was going on. He got out his ladders. He got out the hangers. He set about his work. And he set the table. He used the tablecloth as a wall tapestry. He could hardly believe how beautiful it was. And more than that, he couldn't believe that it covered the entire hole. It was perfect. Suddenly, he turned back around, and he noticed the woman. She was walking down the center aisle of the church, and she was as white as a ghost. "Where did you get that tablecloth?" she asked. Then she said, "On second thought, will you look in the lower right-hand corner and see if the initials EBG are embroidered there?" And they were. There were the initials of this woman who had made this tablecloth 35 years before in Austria. The woman could hardly believe it. The pastor shared how he'd gotten the tablecloth. And the woman explained that before the war, she and her husband were well-to-do people in Austria. But when the Nazis came, they lost it all and they were forced to leave. Her husband was going to follow her the next week. But he was captured, sent to prison, and she never saw him again. She never saw her home again. Obviously, she never saw the tablecloth again. Until that moment, 35 years later. The pastor wanted to give her the tablecloth, but she wouldn't hear of it. She insisted that he keep it for the church. But he insisted on driving her home, because it was the least he could do. She lived on the other side of Staten Island, and was only in Brooklyn for the day for a house cleaning job. He took her home, came back. What a wonderful service, an incredible service they had on Christmas Eve. The church, for the first time in so many years, was almost full. The music and the spirit, they were great. It was awesome. The people were blessed in so many ways. At the end of the service, the pastor and his wife stood there and greeted each and every visitor as they left the building. Many said that they would return. They welcomed them to the community. One older man, whom the pastor recognized from the neighborhood, continued to sit in one of the pews and to stare. And the pastor wondered, why isn't he leaving? Why isn't he getting up? The whole sanctuary had emptied out. The man asked him where he got the tablecloth. He said it was identical to the one his wife had made years ago when they lived in Austria, back before the war. And how could there be two incredibly beautiful tablecloths so much alike? He told the pastors how the Nazis had come and how his wife was forced to flee for her safety and how he was supposed to follow her, but he was arrested and put in prison. And he hadn't seen his wife or his home for 35 years. The pastor asked him if he would allow him to take him for a little ride. They drove out to Staten Island to the same house where the pastor had taken that woman 3 days earlier. He helped the man climb up the 3 flights of stairs to the woman's apartment. They knocked on the door. And he was able to share in one of the greatest Christmas reunions one could ever imagine. Supposedly, this was a true story. Imagine what that moment was like, being reunited like that. On Christmas Eve, we celebrate God's willingness to go the extra mile in order to be reunited with mankind. And more importantly, for God to be reunited with each one of us, His beloved creation, His beloved children. This night is considered one of the most sacred nights of the year. But the truth is, our lives are filled with many sacred moments. It's just on this night we tend to stop and we pause to remember, to recognize, and to celebrate this blessing. God shows up in unexpected ways when we can't imagine how or why. But notice that when we look back at that Christmas story, it didn't happen by chance. It didn't happen, well, it was a miracle. Mary had something to do with it. Christmas happened because of the miracle of a simple three-letter gift. Mary said yes to God. Joseph said yes to God. The shepherds said yes to God. And so the story goes on. And so God calls us to come and to remember the birth of the Christ child, to celebrate this incredible gift that God sends out into the world, sends out into our lives to change them forever. The question is, what will we do with the gift? Will we say yes? Will we say no? And what difference will it make in the way that we celebrate the rest of our evening? In the way we gather with our family tomorrow? What difference will it make as we go forward into a new year and as we think about all the things that lie ahead and what resolutions we ought to make and as those fears and doubts creep in there? What difference will that gift make? The Christ of Christmas that we celebrate is also the same Christ that John, the Apostle John, discovered on the island of Patmos. He writes about it in Revelation chapter 3. He says, Jesus stands at the door of our hearts and knocks. Will we let Him come in? And again, what difference will it make? Paul writes in this letter to Titus that I want to share with you from chapter 2. In this chapter 2, it's entitled, What Must Be Taught to Various Groups? What must we remember every year? I'm just going to read to you verses 11 through 14. And Paul writes to Titus, For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men and to all women. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for Himself a people but our very own, eager to do what is good. These then are the things you should do. These then are the things you should teach. Encourage and rebuke with all authority. And do not let anyone despise you. Paul writes to Titus and reminds him that his life and the life of all of those that he's talking to, their lives are different now because of this incredible gift of grace that comes to us in Jesus Christ. And as we wait, we remember Christ is alive and always moving ahead of us. We wait to see how He's going to appear next. We wait to see what miracle will come next in our life. We're called to wait with hope. We're called to wait with one another. We're called to say yes to this incredible gift that God brings into our lives. We join our hearts together in prayer. Gracious God, we give You thanks. We give You thanks for the incredible gift of life that You give us, that comes to us through Your only begotten Son, Jesus the Christ. We thank You that He's the light of the world and He's willing to step out into darkness to meet us where we're at. We thank You that by the power of Your Holy Spirit, You come to meet each one of us where we're at tonight. Continue to open our hearts, our minds, and our very beings to the invitation to draw near to You. Give us courage and boldness to say yes. To say yes to Your promise to be with us always. And to walk with us into all that lies ahead in our lives. We thank You for the unexpected ways that You are at work, always in the business of reuniting, reconnecting, and restoring life. Let us rest and share in all of that as we continue to move towards a new year. And Lord, as always, we ask You these things and so much more. In Jesus' mighty name, Amen.